Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and thank God I get to talk about something other than Bills losing last night right now is about where I'm at in my life, because, it kind of stung right here. But on that note, we have some good things to talk about and some bad things if you haven't talked about like what our actual show title is for this evening, which, by the way, guys, before I introduce you all and get going, apparently we already have a definitive 100% yes for our did the Blue Jays lose this offseason as what we named the title of the show this evening. So we get to talk and dive into that further, but ELC apparently on our YouTube listens is already 100% accurate for what we were shooting at. So Ken, Jason, how are we doing this evening?
We're doing all right. You know, like, sorry I missed last week. Unfortunately, Mrs. K got a little hurt and, you know, nothing major, but it was enough that she actually used the line, "I would rather give birth than to feel this pain." Ooh. That she had. And it was just going something with her neck and back where she couldn't get comfortable sitting. She actually had to sleep sitting up. Oof. Which is weird. So spent last week taking her to the various doctors, chiropractors, a lot of medication. And of course, she's already back at work and she already wants to hit the gym.
Well, there you go.
There you go. To that point, the biggest thing out of that is she is feeling better. So win. Jason, clearly you're a little bit more excited, at least about non-baseball related sports than I am anyway.
We'll start. We are coming up to, are we allowed to say Super Bowl? We're coming up to the big game. I think that's what we're allowed to call it now, unless we're paying for the rights to talk about it. I got to be honest with you.
The Super Bowl.
I mean, I was happy the Niners won. I don't think they played very well, but I feel like they were adapting to a team they didn't know a lot about. And the Packers are young. They're hungry. They played well. Jordan Love is for real. Like, he's for real quarterback. And, I thought they underutilized CMC, and then George Kittle just went and had a game and, you know, it was an awesome win. It's great to get, I don't think that they're going to be happy if they don't make it to the Super Bowl and probably win. But I will be very honest. I find the Bills Mafia and all of this whole thing with the Bills so incredible to watch. I've got nothing but time for Bills Mafia, for Bills fans, for people who are that dedicated to their team. So too bad you lost, but hats off to people who love their team as much as Bills fans do.
Yeah, apparently the sacrifice to the pit was not quite enough the other day. So that's about me. I don't know if anybody's heard the weird rumors and whatnot, but obviously they're building the new Bills Arena in the parking lot next to the current arena. So it's literally a giant pit right now. And it's been like everybody's been making the jokes about like, this is Sparta and you kick people into the pit. And that's what we've been doing for the last 6 weeks. When you talk about, you know, taking down Mahomes in the regular season, going on a 6-game run, that was the funny part about the whole thing. Yeah. But then apparently, like I said, not enough sacrifices to the pit equals a Bills loss. That made me feel, like I said, a little bit too much like a Super Bowl loss to the Redskins from a million years ago. Yeah. So it's just bringing up some PTSD, bad memories, whatever you want to put it. But like I said, let's talk some good news, baseball-related news.
All right.
Apparently Ross Atkins and Shapiro were listening to this show last week is the only thing I can think of, because they put the final signature on the dotted line here and brought Yariel Rodriguez to Toronto for 2 years on that contract. And there's one sour note to this whole thing, but we'll get to that in a minute. But Yariel Rodriguez is a wonderful talent that you're bringing to this team. And you really, Jason, we talked about how good this arm is to add to the bullpen and maybe the starting pitching. You really don't know what you're going to get when he shows up this spring.
Yeah, I mean, it's serendipitous sometimes when you talk about something and then all of a sudden the whole world, like literally it was like we finished the show and then every bot on Facebook was talking about how this deal was almost signed. And I was like, is this for real? Like, is this really happening? And then it seemed like we did kind of knew what we were talking about for a minute. Kudos to, you know, to the Jays management for kind of sniping this one under the radar. It's a good deal. It's a steal of a deal. I like him a lot. I think he gives you the opportunity to add him really anywhere you want, except for a closer. He can't close, but anywhere else in your pitching roadie, he's going to be, he'll be fine. Just the way that he is, just watching videos, he's a pretty excited guy. I think he'll fit right in with that clubhouse, and hopefully he has a good couple of years and we can really see what an unknown pickup from Cuba can do.
It might be a 4-year deal, what I just stumbled on to too. That's the other crazy part. I'm sorry, it's incentive laden to get to that 4 years, but
interesting.
Fine, great. What? So, Ken, wow. did you have any check in anything on this Yariel Rodriguez gentleman after we signed him last week? What are your thoughts? Seeing you weren't here to, you know, gripe on how the Blue Jays hurry up should sign him last week. Now we have him.
Well, no, I think it's just added tools to the tool belt at this point, right? Because now we have, like you said, we don't know where we want to put him. From what I understand, from what you guys are saying, like he could be a starter. Maybe a middle reliever. So I think we can't go anything wrong with it. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can actually do. How did he do last season? Sorry, because I don't really know a lot about him.
So he played in Japan last year and was crushing it, like to the point of 1.5 ERA or something like Jason. So he's from Cuba. He played 3 years in Japan, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And he's been really, really good playing in the Japanese baseball league.
Yeah.
Like he's probably, you know, he got in about 60 innings last year, which is to your point, Ken, a middle reliever. Yep. And that's probably where he's destined to go. But there is enough question on what's going on in our fifth man or spot for our rotation here that he might just have the stuff to jump in with Manoah, Ricky Tiedemann, if they don't make some kind of move here to add another pitcher here before the offseason's up.
I also think, you know, it's interesting too, Craig, we were talking about Tiedemann and you know, sort of how successful he has been. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the next day they were talking about that he's, you know, if he's not number one, he's number two prospect in baseball now. And I guess his in-between season showing has really, I mean, he's just like doing this right now. He's just skyrocketing. So, I mean, if Tiedemann falls into the five spot, which I'm starting to feel like he might, let's just put Alek Manoah in a box right now and we'll figure that one out in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Rodriguez then slots into a good middle relief spot. He's able to give you a decent amount of innings and he's got a good strong arm. He's a decently young guy, I think. Is he 26 or something like that? It's a good deal. It's a good deal. It's one of those ones that you know, it doesn't have any fanfare or anything like that. And I can, you know, I agree with ELC a little bit about, you know, us, we kind of have lost the offseason, but I'm going to bring up a point after we finish talking about Yarod I'd love to hear what you guys think, you know, sort of on those lines. But
so the one thing that I'm reading about Yarod, just to, you know, coin the name right here on this show, outside of the good fastball, apparently his best pitch is a giant sweeping curveball, one of those what they call a sweeper.
Yeah.
And the other part that he's really picked up and what he's saying has taken his game to the next level in Japan is he must have learned how Japanese pitchers throw a splitter, because it has helped him out immensely, is what he's been saying. So that is a great pitch if you're getting a nice splitter, getting that ball. Just look at Kevin Gausman.
Yeah. You know,
what could he already learn if he knows something about how to throw a splitter from Kevin Gausman, that could be that next notch, or even from that fact from Kikuchi.
Yeah.
So,
Ken, to answer your question, last year with the Chinichinchi Dragons, he had a 1.15 ERA with 60 strikeouts over 54 and two thirds innings. So, I mean, that's pretty darn good. I mean,
Yeah.
I don't know of too many guys over there that are, I take it with a grain of salt. I mean, it is the Japanese league, and it's certainly not MLB players, but I mean, pitching is pitching. Like, I mean, if you're dotting it, you're dotting it no matter what league you're throwing it in. So
just think about that though. Even in inflated, let's say he doubles that, he's still at 3-something ERA over 60 innings.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Oh, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
talk that one up as a win. So we had one win.
Well, we had one win.
Yeah, we had one win. So go ahead, Jason, and go and lay out what you were thinking.
I was looking into this the other night, and I feel like free agency was sort of on fire for a bit there, and then all of a sudden it's come to this screeching halt. And there's still lots of names out there. There's still deals that haven't been made. And, you know, I feel like, and I'm not 100% sure who the linchpin out of this group of four that I think are the what has put the stop on what, you know, what was happening for deals. So if you guys think I'm wrong, and then I'd love to discuss why we think this is a possibility. So I think Snell, Bellinger, Montgomery, and Chapman not signing at this point or not having significant offers, I wouldn't think. I think that's a huge deal. And I find the most interesting one to be Montgomery. I feel like he's one of these guys. He was an all-star in the playoffs. He has been great everywhere he's been. Everything they talked about in the postseason last year was that this guy is all world for a teammate. And yet they can't seem to find a place for this guy to go. It's one of those weird things. So why do you guys think, like, I agree with the listeners in saying that I think that we've lost this offseason up to this point. I think there was opportunity.
We're gonna get to that. That's a whole segment.
Right. But what do you guys think is stopping those four guys from moving? Do you think it's money? Do you think it's term? Do you think it's just
Boris.
the team? What did you say?
Stop Boris.
Yeah. And I mean, Chapman, like, why is Chapman not signed anywhere? The guy's a gold glover. He was great. He's been great as a Jay. Like, there's lots of teams that need a third baseman.
Especially one of his caliber defensively.
Yeah defensively, and he's great.
Maybe. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, I'm just wondering, is it really just the money? I mean, are they really trying to hold out at this point? Or, like, I can't imagine why they would do it unless there's some demand that's non-financial that they're looking for. Because, like you said, you have four guys who are actually really, really good, but for some reason, people are not touching them for whatever reason. Doesn't make sense.
I think we all can agree on Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger is going to be Cody Bellinger A or Cody Bellinger B, and Cody Bellinger B is not very good. So I can understand why teams might not want to take a chance on him. But even if you go, like, if he's not willing to accept anything short, I mean, I think then you throw a little bit extra money at him and maybe try and get him for a year or two to see what Cody Bellinger you're going to get. I mean, he's a lefty bat, so I mean, he's unbelievably attractive right off the top. But then, you know, Blake Snell, like, we sort of kicked this horse to death last week, Craig. Like, Blake Snell is a Cy Young almost every year. One of the best in the game that's doing it. And again, like, why can't this guy find a home somewhere? I don't know. Do you think it'll take one of those guys to go, and then we'll see another big surge of crazy moves,
like,
and
domino kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's the chip to move right now. He is now the number one top free agent on the list, Blake Snell. You know, maybe if he moves, that finally sets the last bar that you needed to get across for all these other guys to get through. But to that point, I think all those guys have Scott Boris as their main manager. So maybe
all four of them do the power manager moves.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He is the sports manager. Like, if you're talking about what they based Jerry Maguire on, not in as fun of a comedical way, he would have been the one that fired Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, he would have eaten Jerry Maguire alive. but I just thought it was an interesting thing that you know, the other really interesting thing that I read is, have you guys seen who the top five predicted batting, like the, you know, batting champ and downwards down to five is for 2024?
Yeah.
Okay.
So play it on us because you know it.
Okay. Here we go. So let's go from five. So five is, and I don't know who this guy is. I know who the guy they're comparing him to is, but Wyatt Langford from the Rangers, they say is going to be the fifth best hitter in baseball. He's a rookie. Rangers, what's that?
He has the opportunity to be the Ronald Acuna of the American League.
Yes.
He's that good. Yep.
So Jung-Hoo Lee with the Giants, they say it's going to be okay. Four. And then who do you think they slot in at number three with Soto and Acuna above him?
I'm guessing Bo. No. I don't know.
Vladdy.
Oh, Water. Vladdy.
They say Vladdy.
Right now? Yeah, go ahead.
They say Vladdy is going to return to form. If he does, all of this stuff we've talked about. And again, you know, this sort of harkens back to what we talked about, Craig. Maybe they know this.
Yep.
Like, maybe Vladdy's already shown up and he's in, like, unbelievable shape and he's just destroying baseballs in sim games and stuff, and they're like, you know what, guys, we're gonna be fine. Well, we already have him, he's right here, we have the third best hitter in the game right here. So what's that?
You need that though, otherwise
now I'm all in. Now I'm all in.
I'm
taking back my statements to trade Vladdy. Unless, of course, they use this as possibly the greatest bargaining chip you could ever use by saying with a report like this to say, hey, this guy's predicted to be the third best hitter in the game. What can we get for him? You know, can we get three or four pieces, you know, prospect, a day-to-day player and a reliever for Vladdy, you know, and send him to the National League so we don't have to put up with him.
Yeah. Something, I don't know, but it could be a play. Yeah, you are 100% right. But at the end of the day, I think you and I quickly touched on this topic the other night, and this is last Monday. So the Blue Jays promoted the Buffalo Bisons hitting coach to the major leagues. So he's the assistant assistant batting coach for the Toronto Blue Jays this year, and that's Matt Haig. We saw what he did with the Buffalo boys last year. Those are guys that weren't meant to do that well, but they did do that well, right? What is that other mantra from Matt Haig come up to Toronto and maybe just get that little whisper? Hey, I helped Davis Schneider hit a bunch of bombs. Try this.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe that's the catch.
I don't know, man, for, you know, and it's, we were talking about this today about, you know, what we were going to talk about on the show. And then, you know, just open up the interverse and you're just like, wow, there's a whole bunch of stuff down the rabbit hole about baseball. Doesn't matter what time of year it is. So I was happy to find that little tidbit, on Vladdy. Like, I mean, it's wildly interesting.
I hope they're right.
I hope it's
too. I think we're all, we want the Vladdy of MVP caliber. Not just the one who's hitting the ball really good, but just not at the level that we're expecting, right?
Yep.
One thing we know for certain this coming year, Shohei Ohtani can't win the American League MVP. So, Vladdy, take that shit.
There you go.
So, Blue Jays fans, I've seen many of you coming in and out of the chat room here. Please make sure you... In the chat, if you have a question or a concern or anything you would like to throw at the gang here, please make sure you like enlist it here and we'll talk. So we'll be good. So outside of that, Matt, you mentioned we are getting eerily close to the end of the offseason, boys. And I'm not just saying that because my Buffalo Bills are out, my Sabres suck. So We are this close. Pitchers and catchers are going to be reporting on the 15th, I believe. I had it in front of me. Let me pull it up. Yep, February 15th is the day pitchers and catchers report. So we're that close. Wow. And then we have the first full squad workout is on February 20th, a week after that. Yep. So we are literally a month away from spring training being in full swing today.
Yep.
So it's kind of a nice little perk to know that it's not that far away from where I get to enjoy spring training baseball games. Right. Hopefully they air more of them than they did last season. That was kind of disappointing on Sportsnet, but we'll get there, I guess. But boys, the question is where we stand right now as a team. And assuming the Blue Jays make no other moves, we don't land Blake Snell, we don't get Cody Bellinger, the whole Jorge Soler never pans out, any of these items that we've talked over repeatedly over the last few weeks, nothing more. You get Yadier Rodriguez as your biggest signing of this offseason, grabbing Kevin Kiermaier and Isaiah Kiefer-Leffa. That's all you get. Everybody else is exactly the same as this team was last year, minus Matt Chapman and some others. Is this team a better team today, or are we stuck in neutral still like we were talking about at the end of last season?
Kenny?
I don't know. I'm kind of thinking neutral at this point because there's no big buzz. If we landed Ohtani, there'd be a lot more buzz, right? There would be World Series rumors and people are probably selling World Series tickets for all I know, right? But I think we did.
They're already selling Blue Jays Ohtani shirts in Japan because somebody clearly didn't get the memo. That's an article on jaysjournal.com today.
And I don't want, like I said, I don't want to be a downer thinking, oh, we're not as good. I think we're just as good. I just hope that the performance will turn up when we need it to turn up, right? If Vlad has the year that we think he's going to do, if we can give Yarod the innings that can help us close games and rely on like Romero to really close it off, then yeah, I think we can probably do just as good as last year, right?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ken. I don't think we've gone backwards. You know, I feel like the guys that we've lost, we could afford to lose, based on depth of position. I feel
right
like
you lost Witt and Matt.
Yeah. Witt. I don't like Witt. That's what I don't like, but I mean, it's, you know, we have three Witts, you know, like
have four now with IKF.
Yeah. With IKF, we have a fourth. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's for me, I still think the Jays are in the top 10 in the entire league. I think they're probably, I mean, if you're to really nitpick it, I think you're probably looking, you know, in the American League, I think you're probably looking at the Rangers still being the best team. The Orioles being two, I would say maybe then the Rays, then the Jays. I mean, I think that's probably a pretty fair assessment. You know, there's some sleeper teams in there.
Yeah, there's one thing that's going in the Blue Jays' direction in the American League East, anyways. The Baltimore Orioles have done jack and or shit this offseason. So
now they're pretty darn good, though.
You're talking about,
yeah,
I'm not knocking that. I'm not knocking that. But if you talk about how they take the next step, they need pitching.
Yes,
They should have went after the Blake Snell, the, you know, Jordan Montgomery, to what your point was, to be able to really get that ace in that, because you still don't know what you're going to get for some of those kids. There's a reason I have like a pile of Baltimore Orioles rookie cards and all the baseball cards I've been going through lately, because it's all rookie talent. If Grayson Rodriguez doesn't come out this year and have a good season.
Yeah, they picked up Kimbrel. I mean, that's one move, but they do. I mean, they do really have, I mean, they've got Jackson Holliday. I mean, I got to tell you guys a story. So last night, a friend of mine, Jeff Guile, who played in the majors, his brother played for the Yankees for a number of years. Good guy, good dude. I saw him last night. We were playing hockey, and he actually, it was so interesting, is he was talking to his friend who he went to Oklahoma State with, and he was saying, do you remember when we were watching Jackson when he was a little tiny kid? Because Matt Holliday used to come to their training facility and train in the off season. And so they would see Matt and then they would see this little kid, and Guile would say that it was one of the best kids he'd ever seen play baseball. And I guess, I don't know a ton about him. I actually came home last night and looked him up, and I was like, oh my good gravy. That kid is a bounty of riches for the Orioles. And I mean, you know,
is that because you were watching the Holiday Family Home Run Derby on YouTube? Is that what you were doing?
No, but I that did come up.
Great video, right?
I know it's a great video. But I mean, I think that the Jays have been stagnant. I think that you might be looking at organizationally where they feel like they're pretty good. They feel like they can sort of still hang with the big guys. You know, the Yankees certainly made some impactful moves. And I mean, I think Soto makes them better, but I mean, I don't know. And Stroman probably makes them better, but they were kind of crap last year. So, I mean, you know, better is what? So,
yeah, I quantify better for the Yankees right now.
Yeah.
I really don't know what to get or what to think.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I look at that roster, and I'm sure you two gentlemen are thinking the same thing. They made some big splashes, but outside of the rest of that, it's like, okay, great. You traded Domingo Germán away or lost him, and then you put Marcus Stroman in. Germán barely played last year. So it's those kind of like they lost somebody and then added another, and it was like, okay, great. You're the same as you were, and last year you didn't make the playoffs.
The Red Sox are pretty much the same as they were. The Yankees are pretty much the same as they were. The Jays are pretty much the same as they were. The Orioles and the Rays. Like those five teams have changed very little in this postseason or in this offseason. And for me, I'm wondering, like I was, you know, bringing up with those four guys, if there aren't some big trades or there aren't some big moves on the horizon here for some of those teams that when they get into spring training and they're like, gosh, the cupboard is a little more bare than I thought here. What do we do here? And I mean, I know that's when Chapman and Cody can start to demand real crazy dollars, because they're going to be by far your best bet, especially if somebody gets hurt. Like if somebody gets an outfielder hurt in the first couple of games, I mean, just give me the pen, Cody, and just put what you like on it, right? Like, I mean, it's crazy to think that. And I mean, you could probably get Bellinger for, would you think $25 million would do it right now?
I think that's where he's been projecting. I think you're accurate with that statement. That sounds about right.
Are you better to get ahead of it and sort of say, hey, you know, we're not going to take a chance on this. Like the Rays aren't super deep in the outfield. The Boston is terrible in the outfield. Like, I can't believe they haven't signed Cody Bellinger to this point. Like, I don't know what's stopping them. Like, their outfield is pathetic. It's awful.
I think they're stopping themselves on that one, Jason.
Maybe, yeah.
I think they're worried about spending too much money and going the wrong direction with everything going on right now. I that's the only thing I can see. They also have that Yoshida kid who is the real frickin' deal. Yes, so
he is.
I think they're planning on building around him is the plan. So, and I'm not just saying that because I pulled one of his autographed rookie cards the other day from a pack of cards and it was apparently worth $40.
Of course you did. Yes, you are.
It's for sale if anybody wants. It's got Red Sox on it. Ew.
I'm wondering if it's just that teams feel confident in the core group that they have and they're just going to, you know, play for singles and bunts versus trying to go for like a triple or a home run.
I feel like part of it is the Buffalo, the Buffalo club as well. I feel like that Buffalo club really gave Jay's management a real like confidence boost to sort of say, if we don't get any deals done, like, is anybody going to be mad if we put in Spencer Horowitz, or is anybody going to be mad if we put Schneider in? No. I mean, they're proven guys who've proven they can play at the major league level and well. And then, we didn't sign Chapman. Oh, look at Berger. He's gained 15 pounds and he's hitting him 500 feet. Like, I mean, you know, we have, there's tools there that could make this a really exciting, season. I look at the interesting thing that I'm drawing is I'm drawing a real line between the Vancouver Canucks and the Toronto Blue Jays. The Vancouver Canucks changed very little. They've been the same team for 3 years, basically. And they were crap, and then they were crap again, and now they're like the darlings of the NHL. And everyone's like, oh, Rick Tocchet. It's not just Rick Tocchet. I feel like sometimes a group needs a chance to gel. And I love the fact that even though, Jim Rutherford, they call him Trader Jim because he's had the most trades of any GM ever in history. But I do like the fact that he has let this core group marinate, and it's now starting to show fruit. So maybe Ross Atkins is smarter than we're giving him credit for, and he's finally got these guys to a marinated group where, where Biggio can have a standout year, and Bo can have a standout year, and Vladdy can have a standout year. And then everyone's like, oh, well, thank God we didn't spend $700 million on Otani, right? So, I mean, who knows?
We didn't trade that guy for Dalton Varsho. Oh, wait, what?
No, wait, we didn't do that. Bad.
Sing.
I said it. I went there. But to that point, I think he's going to have a better year this year, too. I can't, there's something about, like you were just saying, that comfort. That is something that could help out a Dalton Varsho, to your point, a Kevin Biggio, whoever it might be.
Yeah.
To take that next step. And like I said, I'm hoping that in the midst of all the Blue Jays roaming ridiculous instructors that they have that are going to be coming to spring training, it's a who's list of who's going to be coming to spring training as far as the coaching goes, guys.
Yeah.
Victor Martinez, Edwin Encarnacion, ding, 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 ding. And then that's not even including the guy, like I said earlier, Matt Haig moving into his new role too. So
yeah.
It's all the right people to be having down at that wonderful new spring training complex and hopefully get these guys right for 162 games.
And then the other thing, too, is there's probably a few guys that are dangling around in the ether, like a Kevin Pillar or, just guys that haven't signed or have had a contract expire. And they're still, they're not 42, but they're not spring chickens. And I mean, there's always guys like that. There's always guys when spring training starts, you're like, oh, the Jays. The Jays gave a PTO to this guy. Sweet. Like, and who knows, it's coming up on a really exciting, couple of weeks of baseball, when they start to settle in and you start to see, guys in tip top shape and guys in not tip top shape and, what
who's
you're going to get.
Who's the best shape of their life candidate?
No, I mean, it's very interesting. I was listening to a thing. I can't remember who it was. Oh, John Kruk was talking about how at the start of the season, you're the strongest you're going to be, right? Like you've been hitting the gym. I mean, he's not the greatest example. I don't think he hit the gym a lot, but he was as strong. He felt as strong as he could be, right? He's coming into spring training. You're mashing home runs. I don't know if you guys know this, but a lot of major league hitters start out the season with a heavier bat than they finish the season with. Because at the start of the season, you're full. Yeah, you're as strong as you're going to be. You're swinging the crap out of the thing. Game 148, you've got some wear and tear, you got some miles, and it's getting a little harder to rip that thing around. So equipment is actually being manipulated now to help these guys, have benefit down the road and down the season. So I love when spring training gets close. There's just something about it that's so exciting.
I'm even going retro here. I found this program from when I went and actually went to spring training. There's an R.A. Dickey on this.
Radicky. There we go.
Radicky.
Jason, I really got to find out how the hell you read into my random crap that I'm going to ask every night on this show and you somehow get in my head. Do I have like the scoreboard, like literally telling you something behind me?
No,
or
I feel like sometimes we share a brain.
Because it was a good article on Jay's Journal that was going kind of down the ballpark of where you just said, as far as who could be that one hit wonder that could help the Blue Jays this season. And we're not going to dive into who that person is for this team, but I thought it was fun that this article was about who the top seven Blue Jays one hit wonders of all time. So it appeared to be fun to have a little talk around that and see if you guys can guess some of the names on this list, and then I'll give you the list. So I just figured we can go around here. Jason, do you have any Blue Jays off the top of your head that you can think of that were, like I said, the one-hit wonder? You had an amazing season from this player. That was like, that was the reason we were a good team that year. Not somebody that was consistent, but like, bam, like a literally
feel like spark plug. I feel like my first one would be Chris Colbello.
I think Colbello. Wait for you, because that is one on the list. Chris Colbello is known for having a monster 2015 season and really became the everyday left fielder, which is funny because he barely ever played left field. He was always at first baseman, especially seeing him here in Rochester, New York, way too many times playing for the Rochester Red Wings. He was in the Twins organization for a million years. But yeah, he destroyed the baseballs that year. It was actually a really big reason we were good that year. Kenny, you got any of that come to mind?
I'm going to go a little really old. There's no time frame. There's Jays of all time, best
all time.
Like one hit wonders. I would say Paul Molitor.
Well, he got one good season out of him as an MVP, but to that point, I would say that Paul Molitor is a Hall of Famer, so he wasn't exactly a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I was going to say Ricky Henderson,
but to that point, he had that like one amazing, ridiculous season with the Blue Jays, so that definitely stood out. So you were barking up the right tree, but think one and done, I guess, was a better way of saying it. Yes. And I'm going to say one here that I was actually surprised that wasn't on here. We got a really, really, really good season when everybody was hurt this season that this happened in 2002. Reed Johnson.
Yeah.
I can see that.
The other one that just
surprised that he wasn't one on, but I guess he's in that ballpark kind of where you were going, had just enough good seasons to not call it a one hit wonder.
Yeah. Did Eric Hinsky just play one for the Jays?
He played for the Blue Jays for a long time, but he is on that list as only having one good season.
One good season.
And I like the reason Eric Hinsky is famous to this point is he played on more consecutive playoff teams than anybody in history. Because he was one of those guys. He played in the playoffs for like at the end of his career, six straight seasons as a first base, third base, bench player.
That's right. That's right.
So it was really ironic that he was in that many playoffs teams and obviously never with the Blue Jays, from being the 03 rookie of the year is where you were going there, Jason, to your point of being a one hit wonder and then dropped off the face of the planet.
That's what I was thinking. I knew he was a big disappointment. I kind of liked him. The only other one I can think of, and I'm trying to remember what his first name was. His last name was Phelps, I think, wasn't it? Or
Josh Phelps.
There it is. Yeah. There's one of them. I loved Josh Phelps.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Was a masher.
Yeah.
He had 40 home runs that one year.
Who was the...
It was slightly ridiculous.
What about Smoke? Did Smokey had a couple of good years, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm thinking they're lumping him in that category where I had Reed Johnson and Molitor.
Yeah, maybe.
A standout year out of the years he was with the Blue Jays, but he had a, you know, it was a good tenure as a Blue Jay kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ken, do you have anyone to add to this list, or do you want me to go through the list here?
There's a couple of names, but I can't remember what's the second one. The first was like, I can't remember what his first is. It Troy Tulo, what's his name?
Troy Tulowitzki.
There you go. I can't pronounce him.
If Tulo would have actually been a Hall of Famer if he could have ever stayed on the field.
Yeah, I agree.
It's one of those guys that just couldn't stay healthy, very much like what we see today with Danny Jansen.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Tulo was even worse, though. He got hurt. Like, he got a good idea, and he was out 4-6.
Buzzing. Yeah.
Pulled his idea.
Because the argument here is, for every Roy Halladay, you have a Josh Towers. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So, it's that flip side of the coin. So, you want to hear the one-hit wonders that are...
Sure.
JaysJournal.com here, our official podcast affiliate, listed out here. So Gustavo Jacin.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
I remember him.
So Gustavo Jacin was literally so good one year that the following season, during the opening season of the baseball, they had a cologne night. That was Jacin.
Right. That's right. That's so awesome.
So, and funny thing is, I still remember that. And I wish I'm going to have to make sure I tell Edward about that one. Is I'm like, you missed an opportunity here to plug an awesome or a cologne, man.
Well, Tulowitzki had one.
Bottles were ever made.
They could have called it Smellin' a Troy.
Smellin' a Troy.
Simpsons. Stole from a Simpsons story.
Yep. So now we're just getting into the marketing of what we get here on Jay Bird Watching, part of jaysjournal.com, part of fan-sided network. So Chris Colabello was one of the ones that you guys got. The other one was Jeremy Accardo.
I don't even know if pitcher. I remember that person.
Yeah. So basically, this is the years that BJ Ryan was in the bullpen, and that first year he was famously hurt. So Accardo was the closer and did really, really damn well for the Blue Jays that season. So there's one. Homer Bush, they threw into this category.
Interesting.
Because his best years were after he was out of the Blue Jays uniform.
Yep. That is accurate.
Famously traded came to the Blue Jays with Graham Lloyd and David Wells when we traded Roger Clemens to the Yankees. So that's fun. That's the tidbit there. Catcher, John Buck.
Homer Bush and John Buck. I knew this would be an all-name team by the time we were done with it.
And Eric Hinsky was the second to last one, and then Josh Phelps. So to your point, a 30 home run, 100 RBI campaign in that and 2022 or 2002. Monster year.
Yeah, there's you know
how much that was aided by having Carlos Delgado bat in front of you.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, wow. I thought that would be fun to quick hit on here while we were just chit-chatting. And like I said,
great.
Jason, it was like you were reading my mind on some of this stuff. Because that's where I was planning on going in this conversation here.
That was I do what I can, buddy.
You got rookie of the year.
They don't call me the best color man in the business for nothing.
Why do I feel like I'm picturing that part in Major League where he's like, fly ball.
No, don't you remember when he when they hit the Willie Mays Hayes gets on and he's the color guy is dead quiet and he's like, that's why he's the best color man in the business, ladies and gentlemen. He says nothing. He has a sip of the gun.
Over to at one point he's like, hey Lonnie, how do you think of that play? And he's sitting there like breathing into a bag.
I gotta rewatch this again, man.
It's so good.
Major League 1 and 2 are gold. And honestly, Major League 3 back to the minors is poorly underrated. It's stupid, but it's just another baseball movie. If you take the whole idea of it being a Major League movie out of the equation, it's fun to watch. So, anyway, I have one last thing because I've had fun goofing around with the AI image guy stuff with you guys like every end of the show here. Oh, we're goofing around with it. But is there anything either of you two gentlemen would like to talk about before we wrap it up here?
I'm gold, buddy.
No, I'm good.
Gold.
All right. So, Ken, last week, and I think you were there the week before, too, I did the AI photo thing that I've been doing on our Instagram, TikTok, all our social media stuff. And I like just going over the last week's one on this show before I post the next ones up for the week.
Okay.
And see if you guys cheated or already knew what's going on. Or what? But the idea last week, I'm going to share these pictures with you, and you want to tell me which Blue Jay this is?
Brandon Belt.
I have one more picture. And the last one's the seal of the deal. If you didn't figure out that one,
looks like Brandon Belt to me. Could be a Bautista.
It does look? Yep. So I think this other one will sell it. So are we good to move on to the other picture?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. That guy.
There you go, guy Jose.
Jose.
I don't know if Ryan Goins would like to be portrayed as that whatever's running behind Bautista there.
this guy back here.
Or Kikuchi, what are you talking about?
It looks like people are throwing food at him in the midst of this, though. There's a little Although there was plenty of things thrown on the field during that game.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, it was funny that what I typed in was like, Crobat Blue Jays, because you can't type in names. So I had to get clever with how I describe the image I wanted to show. And it gave me the bat flip. I can't complain. I thought it was cool that they literally like brought it out to the point where it was like comic book ready kind of like thing. So
like
action pose, boys. Yeah,
good times.
And the reason I thought of Jose Bautista's last week's trivia thing is, did you hear what Jose Bautista news is in the world these days?
Yeah, didn't he buy a soccer team?
I was about to say, didn't he buy a soccer team?
Right on the nose. You both got it. It's like I'm sneaking trivia within the trivia. Look at me. So, but I thought that was really, really cool that he was, that he's in love with sports still after, you know, retiring and all that stuff, to be able to do something like that. It's a full-time commitment doing something like that for I don't think it's an MLS team, right? But it's a Las Vegas
one below, I think.
Soccer team.
Yeah.
Yeah. One okay. below the MLS, I think. It's a feeder team. Interesting, though. I mean, I find it cool when guys do, you know, multi-sport. Like, I imagine growing up, you played soccer and all the rest of it. I've got breaking news. Do you want breaking news before we go off the air?
Absolutely.
Breaking news. This just in. The Pirates have signed left-hand pitcher Aroldis Chapman. Apparently, they've agreed on a one-year deal. This just in. I would play my breaking news sound, but I couldn't get to it fast enough. So, Chapman is a Pirate.
There it is. That's an interesting one. And that seems very Kansas City Royals move to me from last year.
Yeah.
Pirates are a young team. He's a good veteran to have on the team. Yeah.
I mean, Chapman was pretty good last year. I would say the Rangers were really pleasantly surprised with what they got out of Chapman. You know, based on age, based on how he'd been the 2 years prior to that.
Damn.
You know, so there you go. There's your breaking news. Take it home with you.
To that point, though, Kansas City was the one that actually had him and traded him to the Rangers, and they gave up a good piece. Cole Reagans. The Rangers gave up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to get Chapman. And if you that Ken, that was the game you and I were at this past season. And Cole Reagans was the guy that was pitching for the Rangers that was just mowing through the Blue Jays until he had that little weird step and
Oh my God, I remember that. I'll never forget.
Four straight walks.
Yeah. Four straight walk pitches almost.
Yeah, and then Double K hits a home run.
Yeah.
So that was one of the wildest innings I've ever seen in my life. And but to that point, Cole Reagans is a hell of a pitcher that they gave up. So this is the Pirates throwing money at a situation where they need maybe they're good and they have Chapman in the bullpen. If they're not, you trade them to a contender and get a Cole Reagans.
It's a win-win, I feel like.
Yeah, because I have a strange feeling that Chapman's got more in the tank than he leads on. And this is back to certain Yankeeisms. He's not the first Yankee to say that they ruined him. Their ex-Yankee to say that he ruined him. So, crazy stuff. Anything else, my friends?
Nothing, buddy.
I think we're good.
Counting the days till spring training. I got to get
We'll get a ticker.
Clock.
Yeah, I'll get. Yeah. As soon as I can move back downstairs, when my kids aren't dominating the whole house, I'll get a ticker.
I guess I'll have to 3D print that. See, and I got this to work last few weeks.
That came
out really nice, actually. Yeah. And I got to make it flat now, so it's not like looks like one of those weird city skyline things.
Yeah.
And then you turn this one, it's like, oh, there's our logo. It's gonna sit right there next to Jordan Romano. Because that's the only Blue Jay I pull in a deck of baseball cards in like a month. I don't know. Have you guys seen these though?
No.
You can get they're like vintage looking. So it's meant to look like a 1977 Topps card.
I did notice this, and I'll send you the link, Craig. There's a guy here in Vancouver, and I don't know what the deal is, but he seems to be selling off his collection of cards. And he had some good baseball cards. He had a couple of like Ken Griffey rookies and a few other, you know, ones that, I mean, they're not huge dollar cards. They're probably worth $25 or something like that. They're high production. But they were neat cards. Like there was a bunch of kind of cool and they're not new, they're old, so they're the actual old, and he's got them all graded and everything. So I'll send you the link.
Yeah, because I like it. As the many things we've been talking about doing as a side thing here to Jay Bird Watching, that's something I planned on doing in our merchandise as we're throwing things up on the internet and be like, hey, look, baseball cards. I'm going to make the umbrella of selling things along with, doing our wonderful show here that we're not going to taint with horrible advertising. So nobody please take that message the wrong way. Side. On its own, eBay, horrible, whatever fun we can find. And hopefully, like I said, we're going to get our friends that dug out mugs and whatnot involved a little bit, and because bottle opener. Somebody used it probably a few minutes ago when I opened my beer. It's got magnets on it. It's not just the squints thing here. Forever, my friends. But on that note, that's the end of the show. So Blue Jays fans, thank you very much for tuning in. I hope that you all realize that you can talk to us. We are here to be the Jays Bar Room Chat. Make sure you hit us up and comment in there. Thank you for the people that did, including this wonderful agreeance to our show title tonight that I'm going to reference one more time before we go off the air. Yes, we definitely lost the offseason at this point, according to ELC on our YouTube following. But you can be like this. We're going to put your messages on the show. If you end up having enough good comments, maybe we'll invite you on this show. We are the
Send us pictures. Send us fans. Send us recipes. Come join. Send us whatever you feel like. We're here.
Absolutely. Exactly. And this will be beer by Craig. Or whatever it is at this point, right? So we'll do the Vanna White Frisbee toss and make sure you get everything you would like out of this show. But until next week, obviously, tune in live Monday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern time, 5 o'clock West Coast time. If you're in Jason's neck of the woods going for the San Francisco win, 4 o'clock. Sorry, I take that back. And we're here live, like I said. If you miss us live, make sure you tune in wherever you can get your podcasting pleasures for. We are the official podcast at jaysjournal.com. So check out the wonderful writing that we referenced this evening from them as well. And that's it, boys. We got a 3, 2, 1.
Woo! Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays.
Blue Jays, go. Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go, Jays, go.
Woo!
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.